Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to go to your word now and allow it to penetrate our lives, our busy lives, sometimes our calloused lives, sometimes our lives that are thinking about so many different things. I pray, Lord, you would draw it to the central focus that the Lord Jesus makes so clear to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you have children, you know that they teach you things. And I know it's supposed to work the other way, but you know that your children teach you things. As Beth and I were talking about this week, you know, she shared one of the things that she remembers, she knows about children, is that they're very inquisitive. In fact, our son, Andrew, demonstrated to us how it's good to be inquisitive. I mean, his grandfather, Gilbert Lindstrom, said that he didn't ever hit the terrible twos, he hit the terrible whys. Because he had, why does this, why is it, you know, so you're always telling him why certain things happen or how things work. He was also the kind of kid who, if his mom was getting discarding a kitchen tool or something, like a power tool, he'd ask if he could have it so he could like tear it apart just to see how it all worked. Just how he was. Very inquisitive mind, wanted to see how things work. I remember when we were living at the farm one time, he was coming into town and I think he was sitting back with Gilbert, and he kind of pitched a ball up, and he asked his grandpa, I believe it was, why is it that when we throw the ball up, it doesn't hit the back window, you know, as you're traveling a car, right? A good physics question, right? But he's just inquisitive about those types of things. It's good to be inquisitive. Right? It's good for us to learn from our kids to be inquisitive about things too. And then there's my daughter, Rachel. My daughter, Rachel, has a great knack, I think, a great ability to be able to communicate truth to me in a way that's concerned, in a way that's sympathetic, in a way that's endearing, if you will. For example, a number of years back, when I was having a birthday, she made out a birthday card for me. And the birthday card read something like this. Happy birthday, Daddy. You're another year closer to heaven. It's a beautiful card. She put a lot of time into it. Love you, Rachel. You. But, you know, my daughter, that's not the only time my daughter has a very endearing way of being able to communicate to me truth. She has great ways of hinting, you know, Dad, it might be good if you help us out in the house at this time, this way. Have you thought about Mom's Christmas gift yet, Dad? She's been a great help to me, so I really appreciate Rachel. She has an endearing way to be able to help me come to grips with the truth that I need to be thinking about. So I really appreciate that. Our kids do teach us things, don't they? But you know, one of the things that we see from this text is Jesus makes the point in this text that we have a lot to learn from children. And we want to see what we can learn about them and from them this morning. Two main ideas, actually. And here's the first one. In verses 15 to 16, I think we really see very clearly it's important for us to value them. We need to value children, the children that God has placed in our path. You know, just a quick setting. In chapter 17, verse 11, we're told that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was going between Samaria and Galilee. And from that verse till now, you know, perhaps all in the same setting, Jesus healed the 10 lepers. And then Jesus talked about the second coming. And then there was the parable of the woman and the judge. And then the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which we talked about last week. There's a lot of heady information there, a lot of adult material, if you will. But smack dab, right in the middle of this, we pick up what we see in verse 15 where it says, and they were bringing even their babies to him. They're bringing their babies to him. And it made me think, I was thinking on this verse this week, that Deuteronomy 6:7 tells fathers that they should diligently teach the commands of God to their children. I also thought of a passage in 2 Timothy 1:5 where Paul is saying to Timothy, listen, I know that you have a sincere faith that was first in your grandmother and in your mother, and I'm sure it's in you now as well. Recognizing in those verses that the transfer of truth from an older generation to a younger generation is critical. It was critical in the days of the law in which it was given. It was critical in the days of the Apostle Paul as he's talking to Timothy, and it's critical today as well. Which just makes me, begs this question, I think, and that's this. If you have children, or if you have children in your influence, are you seeking to get them in a place where they will encounter Jesus, where they'll get to know about Him? Just something to consider. Because these parents were actually bringing their young ones to Jesus. And it said so that He would touch them. In Matthew 19:13, a cross-reference to this, it says, so that He might lay His hands on them and pray over them. Now, this is a practice for the rabbi at that time or the chief of the synagogue who would do this to the little children. And they're bringing him to Jesus. They would take the child's hands, their head in their hands, and they would pray for that child. Here we have the parents bringing their babies to Jesus. It's interesting, just a couple of points here. You know, in our day and age, sadly, because of all the abuse that takes place, there's like really a stigma about touching children. You know, if they're not yours, you just, you know, want to have hands off because you don't ever want to be accused of anything that's wrong or inappropriate. And I think there's wisdom in being so careful about those types of things. But get this, Jesus touched those children. It was pure. And our children and young people need to be touched. They need to be blessed in ways that are pure and right and holy. And these disciples, Jesus was doing that with these children. So we need to understand the purity of Jesus' ministry to these kids. Another thing that's just a sort of a side note here. In fact, I was quite interested. There were several commentators who were using this verse to sort of champion infant baptism. To which I would just say, where is the water here? By the way, we have a pamphlet or a flyer that you can pick up talking about believers' baptism. But the point is, Jesus is really trying to affirm children here. But let's not take it beyond what the meaning of this context is. He's definitely affirming them and valuing them. Some have said that this certainly could be a justification of what we do when we have baby dedications from time to time. Parents will ask that we come and dedicate their children to the Lord. We'll have them come up here, read some scripture, pray for that child. Certainly this is the idea. They wanted their children blessed by the Lord Jesus. And we know that He blesses them, and we certainly commit them to Him. But then it says in verse 15, but His disciples see it, and they rebuked these parents, these ones who were bringing the children. That was, they admonished them. They forbade them to do it. They censored them. Don't be doing this. I mean, these are little people, right? They were an inconvenience to this miracle worker. Why are you interrupting him? Why are you bringing these children here? He has important work to do, is the implication here. But it's interesting, we see in verse 16, but Jesus called for them. And it's interesting in Mark 10:14, another cross-reference, it says, when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He was very displeased by what He saw, that these children were being turned away. The disciples may have thought, oh, Jesus doesn't have time for the children. But Jesus' message was quite different. Quite different. Instead, He says, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. That's His message. And you know, it's common. It's common when you come to one of our services, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night, that you see a number of children, a number go out to children's church. After the service, they're just kids, just like all over the place. And the question is, as parents bring their children, are we encouraging them? Are we discouraging them? That's something for us to consider. D.L. Moody was reporting on an evangelistic meeting that he had been to, and he was reporting to the people, well, we got to witness 2.5 conversions, to which one person said, you mean you had 2 adults and a little kid got saved? He goes, no, we had 1 adult and 2 kids. He said, that those 2 kids have the rest of their life to live for the Lord. That adult has about half of his life left. That was D.L. Moody's perspective on it. He was excited to see children come to faith in Christ, an exciting thing. And we need to be excited about that as well. You know, it is a gift from the Lord. Not all churches have what we have in the abundance of youth, whether one's in the nursery or one's in children's church or up to youth age. We ought to be excited about it. You know, it's sad sometimes if I hear a story of maybe a child or a family that's kind of discouraged because maybe a child wasn't acting the way they should have acted. And Well, maybe they got some looks, or maybe there were some things said that really kind of felt, made him feel self-conscious about being here. And I would just say to that, that maybe some of the young couples might think, well, how did they do it in the old days anyway? Did they like wave a magic wand over them and the kids all came and were just behaved and great? To which I could say to you, absolutely not. I remember growing up in church, there was a young kid I was familiar with who repeatedly got separated from his friends because he was distracted. And he would talk during the service and he would laugh and he would make noises. This is a kid in my generation. It was me. And thank God the people in that church didn't run me off. You know? I'm thankful for that. So I think we need to have some compassion. You know, listen, when we have a chance to have this time together and we're proclaiming the Word of God, yes, the Word of God is coming forth. That's true. But it's also a time of training. Did you realize that? I mean, it's not just like kids are going to get out of the nursery and go to children's church and then they're going to hop into this and this looks like everything is going to be happily ever after. I mean, there are going to be times when maybe a family struggles and this is a tough week. And if you have one of those weeks in church where it just seemed like in a row, it's like I had a hard time concentrating. This family was working with their kid and it was hard. It was a struggle. Well, rather than being critical about it, you can come along and see if you can help out. You can come along and encourage the parents. Say, I am so thankful that you're here. We're so glad to have you here. So glad you work with your kids. So glad to see your family here. We need to affirm our young families and encourage them. Because I don't know about you and your families, but like I told you, my family had our struggles. And I was at the heart of it sometimes. Not proud of it, but that's just the reality of it. And thank God for the patience of God's people and the churches that we attended. So how do you view the children here? Are they a joy to you? Or are they a distraction to you? Are they a blessing or are they a bother? Are they opportunity or is it a danger that somehow they're going to mess something up? Do you look to them as the future or do you look to their flaws? You say, I think we need to be very careful about the way we view our children. Jesus welcomed those children. It goes on to say, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And you know, if the kingdom of heaven belongs to children, then why in the world would we want our church to be anything other than welcoming to children that God brings here? You know? But we need to be so careful and so conscious of that. So, here's just a word of encouragement to parents. Just some questions to ask you. Number one, are you teaching your children about Jesus? Are you opening up the scriptures and sharing with them from God's word? I'm not saying you have to give them a full 3-point, 30-minute sermon or anything like that, but read a portion of Scripture. See if you can help them understand what it's saying. There's so many good children's books, too, that tell good Bible stories that they can learn from. So, parents, are you teaching your children about Jesus? Here's a second question. Are you seeking to live out the truth that you're teaching them? You see, you can seek to teach them, but if you're living a double life, the kids can see through that pretty easily. And we need, it's not that we're going to be perfect. That's not the point. Now, the point is that we're striving to obey what we know God would have us do. Are we seeking, are we striving to live the truth that we teach our kids? Here's the third question. If you're a parent of children, are you taking advantage of ministries that are there for your children? Listen, I am so thankful for this church family. In this church family, we have Awana. We have Sunday school. We have the nursery. We have children's church. We have vacation Bible school. We have youth group. We have different children's programs from time to time. And all these are tremendous opportunities to have your children in them, to grow in the Lord and to be nurtured spiritually. As parents, are you having them in those places where that can take place? Here's another question. Are you involved with children's ministry? Parents, are you involved with children's ministries? You see, as your children see you not only bring them, but be involved in the ministry they're in, they get it that it's important to you as well. So it's another thing you can do. And by the way, we know that this Word of God says that if you're a believer, you have a gift that you can offer. And maybe it's working with children. We want people who love children and want to work with them. Are you being involved with children's ministry? Something to consider. By the way, If you wanted to be a Denver Broncos season ticket holder, owner, it would take years. There's a waiting list for that. Do you realize if you want to work in Children's Church, you don't have to dream on a waiting list like that? And it's so much more important in the big scheme of things. So just something to keep in mind. Okay? Here's the last question. Parents, do you have strategic mentors in your children's lives? Do you have strategic mentors in your children's lives? Well, let me explain what I mean by that. Within our church family, there are a number of people, a number of families who we know, and who our children may know friends, you know, may have friends of that family. And you have a chance to have your children be involved with that family's life. In my own life, I was richly blessed by being able to spend time, not just with my parents, but with other godly Christian parents in our churches that were a great influence to me. I am so thankful that in our church family, our children have been able to spend time with godly families in this church. And it's been a great reinforcement of the things we're trying to teach them. Lord, are we purposely putting our children in places where they can be mentored, where they can look up to these different people that we love and respect in our church family? I think it's so important when we talk about the value of our church family. So do you have strategic mentors in their lives? Other people who they can see and observe and watch their lives? I want to encourage this church family with this. This past week, I had a leader from another church in town say something to the effect of, "Well, I think Sterling Brian, you know, has the tremendous young couple, young family ministry from what I know about the churches in town." And I said this. I said, I can't speak to what the other churches in town are like. When I'm here, I'm here, right? I don't know what's going on in other places. But I do know that there are a great number of young couples and families. And it excites me. It stokes me because it's the future. And it's an exciting thing. And I was quick to point out to this person, listen, I can't speak to what's going on in other places. But I do know this, that I'm excited about the young people that God has brought here and their kids. We're so excited to have them. And I said, the thing is, we have so many young people who are stepping up to help minister to that peer group and great folks who've come along and really encouraged and supported the young people and the young families. It's really neat to see the exciting new young leadership potential that's here. So we're excited about that. And so I'm very, very encouraged by that. But I just want to say this, that even though I'm encouraged by it, I think there are certainly some things that we can do to continue to grow in that as well. So to parents, I just say finally that I would just encourage you, just keep consistently bringing your children to the opportunities that are here, okay, to be in Sunday school, to BBS, Awana, those types of things. I know you can't do every event all the time, but whatever you can do, try to get your kids so they can be nurtured and grown. They have tremendous opportunities here. Now, to the rest of us, I would say this. You may not be a parent, but I want to give a word to the church family. I've mentioned all the different ministries that our church family has had a part of. And I'm excited about that. And I would say the rest of us, if God would so lead you to be involved with those ministries, that would be a great, great thing. And a great encouragement and support to our families. But I would like to say this in addition. We're looking at something this fall that I'm excited about. We hope to have Brent Harworth come up sometime this fall and teach us. And we want to invite all the different children's ministry workers that come and learn how to use the EvangiCube. It's a way to share the gospel. It's kind of a three-dimensional folding thing. Maybe you've seen them before. We want to train our children's workers to use that so that those can be given to the children and they can take those and share them with their friends. We're excited about doing that here this fall as we can work that out. So I wouldn't, you know, that's just something I'm excited about looking to this fall. But to the rest of us, here's some things that we can maybe even do when we think about ministering to youth, along with our church activities. There are exchange students that people can keep. In fact, I know we have families in the church that are going to be having exchange students this fall, this year actually. What a great thing that is to be able to show Christ to those young people. We talk in this church about how we stand against abortion in our day. We don't think it's right. We think it's taking innocent life. And so often we stop at that. But I want to say this, that as Christians, I think convincingly, if we want to have a voice that will convince people on that, we need to be willing to say also, don't do that, But here's a Christian home that we'd love to have a child who otherwise might not be taken or might be aborted. We would take that child. What about considering adoption, a tremendous ministry, a very sacrificial one, absolutely, but a very godlike one because he's adopted us as his children. You have things like personal interactions, even as you're out in the hallway and you see a young person, to take a few moments and spend time with them. Shows them you value them. It's so important just to take those opportunities. Or perhaps you have a chance to teach in the schools. Tremendous opportunity to have ministry to young people. Or you volunteer in the schools. Or I know we have a number of people who homeschool their children. Investing in your children is so important. And those are things that we need to not take lightly. Here's another thing, extended family. You know, you may have a bunch of nephews and nieces or great nephews and nieces. Don't overlook the potential of ministering to them. I'll tell you a couple I have a great deal of respect for, Dan and Marcia Clark. I know travel around quite a bit and visit their extended nephews and nieces. They love them, and they show Christ to them. That's a godly thing. It's a way we can show value to young people. Maybe you can babysit for parents. Babysitting is a hard thing to come by. You know, believe it, ask some of the young families here. It can be hard to find babysitters. Maybe it's being involved in the clubs like 4-H. We just finished with the Logan County Fair. Being involved with that is another way to be able to reach children and help develop those relationships, ultimately maybe be able to invite them to Awana or the church. Maybe you're involved with sports programs. Maybe you would do a five-day club or other type of neighborhood-type ministry. Maybe you'd be willing to be a surrogate grandparent, if you would. We've lived in places before where we had families that kind of would babysit for us or watch out our kids for us if we needed to in a clinch. And it was a very big blessing. So just something to consider, ways that we can really value our children. Well, that's the first thing. We need to value them. The second thing, though, is this. We need to imitate them. We need to imitate them. You know, as I was thinking about children this past week, they can have a tremendous, tremendous imagination. We were up this past week in Fort Collins. We were visiting my sister and her family, and they have a little daughter, about 3 years old. And she was running down the sidewalk with a stick, just pushing out in front of her. And I said, "Emmy, what are you doing?" She goes, "I'm walking my dog." I go, "Well, what kind of dog do you have?" She goes, "Why, it's a polka dotted dog." I said, "Well, what color are the polka dots?" She goes, "Black." I said, "Well, what color is the dog?" She goes, "White." And she's looking at me like, "Why are you asking me that kind of question? Can't you see it?" You know, that's just the kind of look she gave me on her face. It's such imagination that they have. They're also very, very generous. Same trip, same young gal. She was there, and my sister's been trying to save the apples on her apple tree. They're all green and they're growing because you know, she'd like to have them ripen up so she could do stuff with it. But Emmy, of course, she's eating on this green apple, and she loves it. She says, "Uncle Dan, you need to try one of those apples." She's so generous with her mom's apples, you know. But they're generous, and we can learn about that from them. They're sincere. They're not hypocritical. They'll usually let you know exactly what they think. They don't put on the face, on the hypocritical face that we can often do. They're trusting. They're shameless. I mean, little children can run around with no clothes on, right? No shame with that. They're innocent. We better not do it, right? There's no excuse for us with that. But they are. It just shows you where they are. In their lives, they're just so innocent. They're impressionable. So impressionable. They're teachable. As we're leaving, going to leave Emmy, I told her, "Well, Emmy, we better get home before I turn into a pumpkin." I looked at her face and I see her. She's trying to imagine what that would look like. Then I saw how hard she was thinking about it. I said, "I'm just teasing. You know, I didn't really mean that. I'm not going to turn into a pumpkin." But, you know, they're so teachable. The things we say, even in teasing, they can sometimes, they take that to heart. We have to be careful about that. But these are things that we can certainly learn from them. But notice what Jesus said when he says in verse 17, "Truly I say to you," that is, amen. Or verily, this, or trust me, this is true. Jesus is making this point. This is true. He goes on to say, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter at all." Now, what does it mean, whoever does not receive the kingdom of heaven? Meaning Jesus. Whoever does not receive Jesus like a child will not be able to enter it. It's interesting in this passage, Jesus is not saying, "Grow up, kids. be adults, and then you can understand this stuff. He's actually telling the adults there, unless you're like these children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does he mean by that? I appreciated so much what Matthew Henry said when he said, you know, these children recognize that a gift that comes from their father comes down from their father. It comes from him. It's an inheritance. It's not something that's purchased. It's a gift. And that's what children recognize when they receive something from the Lord. It's a gift from him. Not anything that they deserve. Not anything that they bought. They have nothing with which to buy. They have no merit, if you will. They've not accomplished things like adults do. There's not that pride there. And that's the attitude we're talking about. Much like what we talked about last week, contrasting the Pharisee who thought that his righteousness merited him a good favor with God. And it was that publican, that tax collector, who recognized he was broken and he had nothing to offer. And that's the attitude that these children bring, is they recognize that whatever they receive from God is a gift from him. And that's the same approach, the same understanding that we need to have as well. As I've been thinking about it, being childlike is nothing other than being Christ-like. There are some verses I'd like to just look at this morning. In fact, I want to finish out very briefly. We're not going to stay on any one of these very long. But six things that in the Scriptures teach us about our faith from children. So we're going to very quickly roll through these. Well, what are some things about our faith that we want to emulate? And so let's take a look at these just briefly together. 1 Corinthians 14:20. As the first passage. There are going to be two things we get out of this. 1 Corinthians 14:20. I'd like to just read it. It says this. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Right off the bat, in this passage in 1 Corinthians 14:20, we're told one thing that we are not to be like children about. Okay, the only negative in this list of six. The first one is this: don't be children in your thinking. Okay? Children can be quite simple in the way that they think. What we're being told here by the Apostle Paul is we're not to be children the way we think. We ought to be growing in our knowledge, growing in our understanding. That is, don't be reining in or curving in understanding. Don't be thinking, okay, I'm going to be childlike, so I'm just going to have no intelligence. I'm not going to feed my mind. No, that's not what Jesus wants. That's the one characteristic of children he does not want us to possess. He wants us to be maturing in our understanding. But that's the only negative we're going to get in this list, okay? So we need to, first of all, not be children, not be babes in our thinking, okay? First thing. Second thing we also see in 1 Corinthians 14:20, and that's this. We are to be babes in malice, to be babes in evil. I mentioned earlier the innocence of children, and they are so innocent. The Lord wants us more and more to have that type of innocence in our lives. How can that take place? Well, it can have something to do with the company that we hang out with. Something to do with the things that we think about. What's our thinking like? Are we thinking about that which is evil? Or like Philippians 4:8 says, are we thinking about those things which are pure? True. So we're to be babes in malice, babes in doing evil. There's a third thing, though, and that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And it says this, 1 Peter 2:2, the third thing, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So the third thing is this, we need to have a sincere desire for God's word, a sincere desire for God's word. We need to want it like a newborn babe wants that milk from his mother. It's counting on that. It needs that. And in the same way, we ought to be desiring God's word in that way. Is that true of our Christian life? Are we in God's word? Were you in it this morning? Have you been in it this weekend? Do you desire it? Do you crave it? You see, that's something about a child that God wants to be true of our life. He wants us to be craving for his word like a babe does for the milk. Well, there's a fourth thing. It's in Matthew 18:3-4. Matthew 18:3-4 says this. Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted to become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There is a humility. Humility is a fourth childlike thing that we need to take note of. He wants us to have humility. Not pride, not an arrogance about us, not a demanding spirit from us. He wants us to be humble people. That's something we can learn from children. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing we see in Psalm 131. Psalm 131, it's a short chapter, just three verses, so I'm going to read them all. Psalm 131 says this, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." There is a trust that we see here in this passage, like a child with its mother. There's a trust there. I was talking to Nate about this topic this week, about some of the joys of young children and some of the challenges. And he said that one of the great joys he has, and there were many things, but one is he's at the point now where it seems like Caleb wants to be in his arms all the time if he can. He just loves that place there. You can tell it's a place of trust. And he loves that. And the Lord wants us to just enjoy Him and trust Him. And Beth, when we were talking about this too, said that, you know, dependence and trust are some of the best things that children, you know, demonstrate to us when we think about the characteristics that they offer. So important. There's a final thing, a sixth thing, and that we find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, and it says this. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which are yours in your ignorance." As obedient children, we need to be an obedient child of God. I know, again, in talking to Beth, one of the things that aren't so pleasant in being a parent is the discipline that we so often have to have a part of our life at that time. Nate's even shared in regard to that too. He says, you know, it's hard sometimes to know how or when the best discipline. How do you do those things? And it's one of the struggles of parents, isn't it? How do we do this in a way that we provide the guidance that they need and yet still set the boundaries, that still communicate those truths to them? How do we do that? It's a real challenge. But yet, we need to understand that as children of God, we need to be obedient too. Just as children are to be obedient to their parents, we are to be obedient to God. Well, this morning we've talked about children and what we can learn from Jesus about them. First thing we see is we need to value them so much. And the second thing we see is we need to be like them. The Word of God gives us some verses that talk about what childlike faith looks like and how that ought to impact us. So the question I have for you as we sort of leave this today is, what is your greatest takeaway this morning? Maybe there's some way, as we've been talking together, you think, you know what, I'd really like to invest in young people more than I have. Maybe the Lord would put something like that on your heart. Or maybe when we'd be going through these characteristics of what a childlike faith, what a Christ-like faith looks like, there's one of those you say, Lord, I need to work on that one. Please help me grow in this area. So what would it be for you? What's your takeaway today? Think about that and pray about that this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to take a look at this portion of Scripture today where Jesus teaches us the value of children. And he also shows us that we need to receive you, the Lord Jesus, in your kingdom as a child in humility and obedience and trust with an eagerness. Lord, I pray you'll work these things in our lives, in the lives of our children. Thank you for children. And help us to reflect your attitude towards the children you've placed in our lives. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.